Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 157. Here we are in the middle of February. We just finished Liga Week 19. We just finished the Taça de Portugal. We are about to embark on week 20. We've got European football back next week. And obviously we've got Benfica at Bruges. And we've got Sporting at home next Thursday at home to the Danish club Medellin. And again, very, very busy time of the year. And I'll be reviewing that, previewing the upcoming weekend's action, especially the Clásico that's going to be coming up on Sunday. Talking about all the other big games this weekend. Big controversy over Paulinho's suspension. Sporting has taken that to Tide, looking to get an injunction and trying to get him eligible to play on Sunday against the Porto. So I'll talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, the second division report. A lot of manager changes, by the way, in the second division. I was pretty surprised. Also talk a little bit about women's football in Portugal. Give you the latest update on that as well. And then in the second half of this episode, talk a little bit about Cristiano Ronaldo, 4 goals in his most recent match for Al Nassr. We saw Jota back training with Liverpool. Good news for the Seleção. Roberto Martinez is in Cidade do Futebol, football season. Talk a little bit about that, as well as some of the transfer rumors, especially Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has for some reason come up in the news reports getting interest with Sporting. I thought that was a pretty strange one, but I'll talk about that as well. But before I get going, just a gentle reminder. Last episode, 156, I did an interview with Gonçalo Martins. He is a 24-year-old student in Lisbon studying his master's in English. His interest is going into journalism. And he has a Twitter account called Buxa My Tugão. And it's about Portuguese match day food. We're not talking about just food in any restaurant. We're talking about match day food, whether it be inside the stadium, inside the venue, or within the confines, very close to the stadium, that you can include as part of your match day experience. And I want to thank Gonçalo again. A lot of visits last week for it. Got a lot of comments. And again, it's one of those interviews that, you know, whether you listen to it now or whether you listen to it in 3 or 4 months, it has got some great information. And again, you can contribute too by sending in when you go to Portugal. It doesn't matter if it's first, second, third, fourth, or even the districts, division. You can also go to the game, take a photo of the sandwich and the drink, the beer you're drinking, send it to them with your price, and they will be happy to post it up and share the beautiful Portuguese food with the rest of the world. But let's get going first. First off, we'll talk first about the Taça de Portugal. We are down to our final 4 teams, the semi-finalists. Wednesday, not much to say. Porto on an André Franco goal. I was talking recently about how when I was talking about reviewing last summer's transfers, I was saying that André Franco's kind of disappeared, hasn't done anything. Well, he proved me wrong in terms of coming back on Wednesday. He scored the winning goal to help Porto advance to their 6th straight year to the Taça de Portugal semifinals. And his goal helped defeat Académico do Viseu and Jorge Costa. Académico Viseu, of course, a terrific story in the second division, but they suffer their second loss in a few weeks to Porto, the first time in the League Cup, and now in the Taça de Portugal. We saw Fama, Família Cão, beat up on Bissad, which is one of many clubs in the second division this week. They got a new manager. But Fama will advance to play Porto in the 2-leg semifinals. That, based on the information as I know of, will take place in late April, but that could change. Then, of course, on Thursday, really Thursday matches were better than Wednesday in the Taça de Portugal. We saw Nacional from Madeira, second division club. A few years ago, they were in the first division, if you remember. Remember when Bruno Lage was manager of Benfica just about the time he took over, and Benfica beat Nacional in Luz 10-0, something like that. Well, Nacional, they went down that following year, and they've been struggling, but they have some life. First time ever, Nacional being in the Taça de Portugal semifinals. And they went to Jamor, where Casa Pia is playing their matches this season. and they recorded a 5-2 win. 7 goals in the Jamur. That's pretty darn good for a Thursday night. And Casapia, which has been one of the best teams in the first division, they're up near the top battling for a European spot, and they suffer a very, very ugly loss at home, 5-2 to Nacional. And then, not without controversy, we saw Braga and Benfica play. They finished 1-1 after regulation and in penalty kicks. Braga, Al Masrati scored the 5th penalty kick, and Braga beats Benfica 5-4. A lot of controversy in this. Benfica, I don't think most people argue with Ba getting sent off. I think most people would agree with that, but there was apparently in a play with one of the Braga players that Benfica felt should have been sent off. And as tends to happen, how many times have I said it on this episode, when one of the big teams lose in a competition and they're eliminated, there's always going to be controversy. And Rui Costa did not hold back after the match. And he spoke to the press, basically saying they weren't allowed to win. And, you know, I always wonder if Portugal ever allowed their clubs to be bought by someone to come in and buy the club. In other words, right now in Portugal, you're not allowed to own the club. You have to basically do it and invest through the club SAD. But when you have somebody comes into Portugal that doesn't know a lot about Portuguese football, and they see the president, this being Rui Costa on Thursday, last week, Sporting was very upset with Varandas. We see Sporting, by the way, trying to get Paulinho eligible on Sunday, getting an injunction. There's just always a lot of controversy. There's always a lot of appeals. And say whatever you want, whether who's right or who's wrong. It's just type of stuff that when it makes headlines, is just not very good for Portuguese football. And people are going to, every time I talk to someone and they meet me, they always feel the need, like I can never get in a word the first 10 minutes that I speak to somebody for the first time, because they so badly want to get through to me. And I don't know why their club is, you know, always worked against, Porto, Benfica, Sporting. And it's just a very big thing that we go through in Portugal. And whether or not it's justified or not, whether Rui Costa was right, whether it's justified or not that Varandas was right or wrong, and, you know, everything that happened with Paulinho, it's just one of those things that is just a very ugly situation, and it's not good for Portuguese football, and it's just not. So it ended, but at the end of the day, Braga, okay, advances. They are going to be in the Final Four, and they will take on Nacional, and if all goes according to plan, we might be seeing a Porto-Braga final coming up in late May. Again, Nacional looks pretty good in this competition, but they're not really doing that great in the second division. Fama is not doing that great, of course, in Liga B win. So you'd have to say right now that Porto and Braga are the favorites to advance to the final. And let's not forget, this is a two-leg semifinal affair, so anything could happen. But I would say right now, and of course we've got plenty of time to talk about this when we get to these matches, you know, they say late April, but I think sometimes they move it up to early April, depending on what happens with probably Porto and Braga in Europe. We have plenty of time to talk about it. And then, of course, last week when we look at, of course, the first division, I think the big match last week, we saw Benfica beating Casapia 3-0. We saw Braga all over Família Com 4-1. We saw Porto at home take care of Vizela 2-0 on a late goal by Taremi to finish them off. We saw Sporting on Shermiti. He's supposed to be the next wonder kid. He's the kid that in the media, especially the social media, you're going to hear about. He's going to be a long line of players next summer that people are going to talk about. But Shermiti with the late goal at Vila do Conde as Sporting goes to Rio Ave and beats Rio Ave. For a while there, it looks like Sporting was going to suffer a 0-0 draw, but they were able to pull out the win. We saw Portimonense on a very, very late goal beat Passos. You got to feel bad for Passos and Cesar Peixoto, sitting in last place with 9 points, but they really thought they were going to have an opportunity to walk away with 1 point, which is so valuable to them in their efforts to try to get out of regulation. And we'll see what happens. We saw Gil Vicente and Arouca draw 1-1. We saw Chaves beat Marítimo 2-1. Chaves in the middle of the pack in eighth place, having a pretty good season. Marítimo is still at the bottom, but they are, although they're in 17th place, they're not too far away from Santa Clara and Gil Vicente, so there's still some life in them. And we saw Vitória Guimarães goes to Estoril and beat them, Vitória beating Estoril 1-0, and we saw a 2-2 draw with Santa Clara and Boa Vista. And we also had a match on Thursday, earlier back on match day 14, Estoril and Boa Vista couldn't play because there was issues with the lights there in Estoril Stadium, and they finished it, they played that match tonight. Estoril recording the 2-1 win against Boa Vista. So right now, as we know, we've got Benfica in first with 53, Porto behind them with 45. But remember, Benfica and Passos have already played their match, so they are not playing this weekend. Benfica, of course, is getting ready for their Champions League first leg match, which I'll talk about a little bit later on Wednesday in Bruges. But basically, the big contest is you got Porto with second place with 45 points, Braga in third with 43, and you got Sporting, thanks to that big win last week, they stay alive with 38 points. Because again, their big thing, obviously, they're going to try to win every match, but their big thing is to try to get into the top three. We get into this weekend. Again, everything gets going on Friday with Vizela against Desportivo do Chaves. Saturday, we only have two matches. We have Roca Santa Clara, Vitória Guimarães against Portimonense. Sunday, we have three matches. Fama taking on Gil Vicente, Sporting, Porto. That's the big one, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then we'll have Marítimo taking on Braga. And then everything gets finished up on Monday with Rio Ave taking on Estoril and Boa Vista taking on Casapia. Obviously, Estoril, Boa Vista, and Casapia played on Thursday, so that explains why they're playing on Monday. And, you know, obviously, the best match this weekend, of course, is the Clásico. And it's a very, very interesting situation because Benfica has already won for their match day. They are 8 points ahead of Porto, so they are not stressing out anything this weekend. They could totally, you know, get ready for Club Brugge on Wednesday. But if you're Porto, you need to win. You cannot afford to go down to Lisbon, Tavolade, and drop points. Because if you win, you're only 5 points behind Benfica, and the hope continues. You drop any points, especially if you draw, you still say seven if you draw, and it just continues to get harder for you the rest of the way, especially playing Champions League, especially playing Taça de Portugal, and I think that becomes very important. And obviously the biggest issue this weekend is Paulinho. His appeal was denied. It's a three-match suspension. He's already served the first one in the match against Rio Ave. But Sporting is taking it to TAD to try to get a tribunal. It's basically a tribunal where sports teams go to solve their problems. And they're trying to see if they'll be able to get an injunction so that he will play this weekend. If you're Sporting, again, you're trying to get into the top three. If you're Porto, you're trying to catch up to first place. And I think that's what's really about the matches this weekend. And I think for me, I'm not going to really do predictions, although I have to say, if I were to tell you something, my gut feeling is that I think we really will see probably a draw this weekend. As far as, you know, players not available, obviously we know about Paulinho with Sporting. We know Porto has several players that are hurt, Otávio, Verón, Estácio, and Wendell. I'm sure as we get closer, you know, usually at the beginning of the week with Portuguese media, you'll see players are out, not available for the Clásico, and then all of a sudden you get 1 or 2 days out from the game, and all of a sudden, you know, the players are available and they're training and this and that. But Porto has a little bit more injuries than Sporting does. Sporting only has one injury right now, and that's, of course, Braganza, who's dealing with, you know, rehabbing from that very serious knee injury. But this is one of those contests where really neither club, in my opinion, can afford to drop points. Whoever drops points, that just makes life more miserable for them. Braga will be rooting for a draw, or they'll be rooting for you know, Porto to win, in the sense that they obviously want to see Sporting as far away as possible for third place, so at the very least they can qualify for third place. And don't forget, Braga's going away this weekend to Santa Clara. To Marítimo, excuse me. So they have an opportunity to turn things around. These two clubs have played 245 times in their history. Porto has won 90 times. Sporting has only won 83. They both have, by the way, they've both drawn 72 times. But interestingly, even though Porto has won more matches, Sporting has scored more goals with 342 compared to 329 by Porto. The last time these two teams played, of course, was a short time ago. Porto beating Sporting in the controversial League Cup final in Leiria. Prior to that, we saw Porto beat Sporting 3-0. This was, of course, a Liga B win. We saw Porto as well this 2022 beat Sporting 1-0 in the Taça de Portugal. That was the semifinals last spring. And then in the first semifinal, Porto beat Sporting 2-1, and that's how Porto advanced to last year's Taça de Portugal final with a 3-3-2-1 aggregate. And then a prior time they played that as well in 2022, they finished with a 2-2 draw. So Porto has had the better of these two teams. But again, at the end of the day, you still need to play. And again, the fascinating thing is you always want to win. You never want to draw or lose. But this weekend, that is so important for these two clubs, especially when Benfica has already earned the 3 points. That I just think is pretty much so, so very important. So that's your wrap up with regards to the first division. Moving along to the second division, a great match last week. Moreirense defeating Académico do Viseu 1-0. That was the best match last week in the second division. Moreirense with an 11-point lead in first place, and they are in great shape to come up to via promotion after 1 year in the second division. Feirense from the Algarve, who, by the way, changed their manager this week. They have 35 points. They're 11 points behind. Estrela Madura is, they basically are in third place with 34 points. And then Académico Viseu, which has now suffered 2 losses in the second division. Oh, actually, they've suffered 3 losses in the past month, 2 of them to Porto. And actually, they've also suffered, of course, a loss in the Liga, losing to Académico do Viseu. So all of a sudden, after being perfect since Jorge Costa became manager in September, they're starting to slip a little bit. And that's pretty much the result there. But that was a very big result last week. We also saw Covilha. Last place, go to Feirense from Santa de Maria de Feira, and they get the 2-0 win. I thought that was something that was really worth mentioning. Second division this weekend, it gets going on Friday with my club, Turriense. And by the way, I got to correct myself last week. I think last week on the podcast, and every time I make these mistakes and I hear it, I literally rip the little hair I have on my head out because I can't believe it. But obviously, when I talked last week, I kept saying Caldas de Rainha. Obviously, Turriense is from Torres Vedras, and I should know better because I've got family there. But Turriense will get going on Friday night. They'll be playing first place, Moreirense. Turriense is on a bit of a nice run all the way up to 13th place. One more win, and I think they'll be pretty safe from avoiding regulation, and they'll be in good shape. Sunday, we have 4 matches. Vilafranquense, which, by the way, is another club in Portugal that just made a managerial change. They'll be playing at Trofense. That's the match to watch on Saturday. And then Oliveirense, FC Porto B on Sunday morning. Académico Viseu will be playing Feirense from the Algarve. That, in my opinion, is the best match this weekend in the second division with regards to second place playing fourth place. And then on Monday, Mafra, another club that changed managers, will take on Nacional. And Bissad, another club that changed managers last week, they'll be taking on Penafiel. So a lot of new managers as clubs are, well, for one thing, clubs are trying to get to promotion. Clubs are trying to avoid relegation. Clubs are probably, let me tell you what I think happened. I think some of these second division clubs weren't happy, the managers weren't happy with the transfer window. And I think that's why you've seen some managerial changes. There's been so many, which by the way, shouldn't have been surprising. Of course, we saw Penafiel recently change their managers, bringing in Helder, who managed Benfica's B team for a few years. But Feirense, Vilafranquense, Mafra, and Bissad, all in the past week or so, made managerial changes, which I found pretty surprising based on reports from the press. Also making news last week, big news by King Kazoo, a 58-year-old Japanese, 55-year-old, excuse me, Japanese player. Very well-known, very famous. And he goes to Portugal and he gets a deal and he'll be playing for Oliveirense. Oliveirense really, they're just playing to stay in the middle of the pack. They're in 10th place, but he gets a chance to play in Europe. Of course, he has experience. He played in Brazil, so I believe he speaks a little bit of Portuguese. But 55-year-old striker, King Kazoo, famous Japanese player, is now playing for Oliveirense in the suburbs of Porto, which I found to be very, very interesting. Let's continue to move on here. Women's football. Continues to be dominated in the first division by Benfica, 10-point lead on both Braga and Sporting, who are both tied for second with 29 points. And, you know, women's football has a long way to go in Portugal, but I think it has drastically improved. The only thing that's ugly when I look at the standings about women's football is there's a club in 12th place, Amora FC, that has 0 points. They have scored 4 goals, and they've given up 53. That is the ugly side when you have a very top-heavy league. But this weekend, and by the way, Sporting this week lost to Benfica in the League Cup, 8-3 on aggregate. So that was a big result whenever those, whenever you have, especially when you have a women's derby, that gets attention too. But this week, Benfica, first place Benfica, they'll be at Lenk Vila Verdense in beautiful Vila Verde, great wine country over there. So that'll be Benfica making the trip up north. And then Braga will be at home to Velar de Gaia. And then, of course, Sporting, they will be at home. Let me see this. They will be at home, and they'll be taking on, from the looks of this, Torreense. I'm trying to read this because the way it comes up in the system, it doesn't make sense. Actually, I got to correct myself. It looks like these matches will be taking place in early March, because I guess the women's national team is going to be playing some matches coming up. So my apologies on that. I'm just noticing this now. The site that I use, this doesn't do a very good job of distinguishing. So that's a little bit of an error on my part. So women's football, again, dominated by Benfica. Braga Sporting in a second place. And that's pretty much your story in the women's second division. Coming up next, we'll talk European preview. We'll talk about news throughout the Portuguese, basically throughout the Portuguese first and second division with the big three reports. We'll talk a little bit about Roberto Martinez was in the news. He was at Cidade do Futebol. And we'll talk about as well other things in Portuguese football coming up here in 1 minute. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Two things I wanted to mention to you. Some people always say that I need to do a better job of promoting it because sometimes I don't even mention it. But again, reminder, if you're listening to this for the first time, PortugueseSoccer.com, PSoccer.com, if that's easier to spell. We also have Facebook at PSoccer.com. We have our partner site on Instagram, Portuguese_soccer_noticias. And then, of course, if people always tell me, how can I support you? I appreciate all the work you do. I appreciate the updates. And I tell people very simple. Not only listen to this, tell your friends about it, but really, most importantly, feel free to give it a follow. This podcast is on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on Google Podcasts. It's on Podcast Addict. I also put up the audio on YouTube. And a great way to say thanks, if you wish to do that, would be to follow it on those many, many resources that I have it available. And again, your Portuguese weekly Portuguese expert here talking about the thing that he loves the most, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Let's talk European football. It is back. Benfica this week, you know, if you remember when I spoke about this back in December when they did the draw, we all knew that Bruges, obviously we saw what they did at Porto and the Dragão. But this is a team that we thought Benfica, they did okay drawing them. And I think if you're Benfica, you got to be very, very happy. Club Bruges, you look at their last six matches, they have drawn one, draw, and then they've lost. So they've been sort of on a sort of a downward trend. They had a managerial change, by the way. And so far, it hasn't gone well for him. He only has one win in his six matches as manager of Club Bruges. They are in fourth place in the Belgium division. First leg is, of course, next Wednesday, the 15th of February, 3 o'clock. That's basically 2,000 hours in Portugal, 1,500 hours in the States, so a five-hour time difference there. So if you're like me, take a half day on Wednesday from work, head out to your local pub. I go to a very good one here in New York City and order a few beers and sit down and watch the game, which is definitely my plan to do. And of course, we know Benfica. We know Benfica, of course. They've been playing pretty well. We'll talk a little bit about Braga and everything. But Benfica lost. Win, draw, which was obviously tonight, and they are out of the Taça de Portugal. First place in the Liga, and obviously they're doing everything well. But their only disappointments this year have come twice to Braga. They lost to Braga in the Liga back at the end of, was it December, 3-0. And then they go to Braga tonight. They draw 1-1. They go to penalty kicks, and they lose on penalty kicks 5-4. And if you're, look, if you're Benfica, this is a very important competition. Your Enzo fiasco is behind you. Everybody that wants to stay on this team is with this team. And if you're Benfica, when you go to Belgium, you got to get the point. You got to come away. You got to score a goal. And you got to come away with the very least a draw. Very least. Remember, away goals don't count anymore. And I think you got to come away with a draw. I'm thinking Benfica will go there. I'm going to predict a 2-1 victory. I'm predicting, but if you're asking me what's the high probability, I think they're going to walk away with a draw, which wouldn't be so bad. But I think if you're Benfica, you want to make life as easy as possible. You want to come back to the Luge, okay? You want to come back in front of your 55, 56,000 fans, and you want to beat a team like Bruges, which, again, is not doing very, very well. Benfica has a lot of players back from injuries. There's going to be some questions asked about how they're going to replace Enzo. Is Chiquinho going to do a good job? But I think at the end of the day, they're going to be okay. And I think that's going to be a very, very big match. So again, that's next Wednesday. Then on Thursday, you have Europa League action. Sporting will be playing. This is, in my opinion, the only real trophy Sporting has left to play for. Obviously, their goal is to finish top three in the Liga to get into the Champions League qualifying and really third place at this point to at least get into the playoffs next summer. But Sporting is going to be playing a team, of course, the Danish team Midtjylland, and don't expect me to get that right. Obviously, Midtjylland is the same club that Diomond, who they just bought. Obviously, he was on loan at Mafra. Midtjylland owned him because they loaned him to Mafra, and now, of course, he's been bought, and now he is a Sporting player. Sporting, you know, you look at Sporting's results, they've won 1, lost 1-1, and they drew. And they have a draw in their last match. Actually, this is not updated. I'm getting this off of the Champions League UEFA website. They won their last match. They won in Rio Ave. So the UEFA website has this wrong. Obviously, we know the story about Schermitti, 18 years old, scoring a goal. And that's going to be we'll see if this kid turns out to be the real deal, whether or not he can give them the push up front along with Paulinho when he comes back. Obviously, this sends Ribeiro back to the B team. But I think if you're Sporting, and Sporting again is going to be playing a team, Medellin. Let me bring up their information here. They have drawn, lost, drawn, won, lost, lost. So they're not doing very well either, much like Club Bruges. Their most recent result was a 0-0 draw at Randers. But they haven't been playing a lot of matches because it's very cold where they are. They do have a player named Anders Dreyer who has scored 3 of their last 4 goals in all competitions. So that'll be a player that Amorim's going to be watching. And basically, they've had a chance to rest because their next competitive match isn't until they play Sporting next week. So last time they played was a long time ago because of the cold weather. So if I'm looking at this right, again, on UEFA's website, they haven't played in a very long time. So their first competitive match is going to be against Sporting. And the question for Sporting is very simple. They're playing at home. They're not going to have back, they won't have back Paulinho. But they do have everybody else. Looks like they're going to lock up Trecon and they're going to purchase him after the season. But much like Benfica, Sporting, a very accessible opponent to win it to advance to the next round. There's no doubt about it. Sporting needs to really put a lot of attention into the Europa League. They cannot afford to lose at home or to draw at home. They need to win this and move on, earn what little money they get out of Europa, and then advance and make a little bit more money and basically continue on in a competition because this is one of the big objectives they have left in the season. Now, it's very hard for Portuguese teams, even though we do have a good history in this competition in Europa, but it's very hard. It's very, very, very hard, and I think as a result, Sporting really, really needs to take care of business. So it's a tough week for Sporting. They play at home on Sunday against Porto in the Liga. If they wind up getting a negative result, that's not going to help their confidence heading into this match on Thursday and the psyche of the players. You know, I always talked about how people say, well, you know, all these distractions with transfer windows and all that. No, these are professional players. That doesn't bother them. Losing a match to a big three right before you play in Europe, that affects you. That, without a doubt, will affect you. And I think that's a very important consideration to make. So we'll see what Sporting does. My prediction is I think Sporting will win. I'm going to go all out and say a 3-0 win, only because I just don't think this Danish team is playing well. If I have to give a worst-case scenario result, so I'm going to give you what I think is the result, but if I was going to give you a something to go wrong, what would be the worst-case result? I think it would be a 1-1 draw. But I think Sporting will do well. And Ruben Amorim, give him a lot of credit. He keeps his players very, very motivated. And I think that's what he needs to do right now heading into this upcoming week. So, again, this week, Liga Bwin, week 20. Benfica, Passos are the only teams that are playing because they've already played. We got European football next week. And then the following week, we get going with the Liga Bwin round match day 21. Other notes to wrap up here this second episode, second half of this episode. Cristiano Ronaldo, 4 goals on Thursday in Saudi Arabia league action. That's now 5 for him, I believe, in 2 matches. What's important, by the way, remember I told you that if Cristiano was scoring a goal a game, that this will put him into position to be called up in March, because that's Roberto Martinez's big thing, is what does he do with Cristiano? It's easy to say all the nice things he said when he was hired, you know, last month, but now it's starting to get close to March. He's starting to score a lot of goals. And if you're a manager, you have to ask yourself, do I want to begin the future without Cristiano? Or do I want to keep Cristiano on the team? And even though this guy's been brilliant, he has saved Portugal's ass many times, you have to wonder if they're trying to move on and use the young players, which was one of the reasons why he was hired for the job in the first place. But Cristiano, 5 goals in 2 matches. Twitter, social media, Instagram blew up with him scoring goals. Every time he goes crazy with goals, it was good to see him smiling again. And look, in March, Portugal is playing Luxembourg and Liechtenstein. Not very difficult opponents, although I think Luxembourg is a little bit tougher than they've been. They've got some kids from Portugal that were, you know, son of Portuguese parents that are in Portugal, and they've done pretty well, although I don't see them beating Portugal in March. But the point I'm bringing this up is Cristiano plays in the Saudi Arabia League. Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. Some of those guys in that league, especially on his team, play for Saudi Arabia. So I think Cristiano, if he's going to score goals like the way he is, I think he's going to get a call-up because he's going to score a lot of goals. The competition isn't very difficult in March, so I'm expecting him to get called up. But I want you to pay attention to what I've been saying. If he scores a lot of goals, he's going to get called up. But if he goes on a drought and he goes 3 or 4 matches without scoring a goal, will that be Roberto Martinez's opportunity to say that, you know, maybe we're going to just keep him in Saudi Arabia and I'll let him fly back all the way to Europe and let's try something else? Very curious to see how that's going to turn out. Jota is back to full training with Liverpool. There was a good tweet put out by Liverpool, so it's good to see Jota back with from his serious injuries. We saw Roberto Martinez, basically at Cidade Futebol, Football City. He's basically working. I'm sure he's also looking for a place to live. And he was watching an under-17 training session. It was an interesting photo the Federation put. It was like a photo from the top of his head. You saw the back of his head watching these under-17 players. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But Roberto Martinez, and there's been some talk that Ricardo Carvalho, of course everybody remembers him with Porto and everything he did with Chelsea, could be a possible the Portuguese assistant that could be on. So we'll see what happens with that. Big Three report. I mean, the real big story about the Big Three report is obviously Porto Sporting this weekend. The story is Benfica, again, suffering a disappointing result up north in Minho versus Braga. And I think for me, what happens Saturday is going to say a lot for Sporting in the Europa League. Benfica, you know, the good thing about Benfica is they're going to be able to not play this weekend and put a lot of time between them and, you know, having at least a good week's rest before they play, or under a week's rest, you know, before they play Bruges on Wednesday. But it's a good thing Benfica did not play this weekend, because to have to suffer that midweek disappointment to Braga and then play this weekend and then go have to play on Wednesday, it's a good thing that they wound up playing a lot earlier and not, you know, playing this match 2 weeks ago. But to me, the Big Three, the best thing about the Big Three with the managers is the transfer window is closed. Managers now know who they have to deal with for the second half of the season. I know Kosei Song is particularly happy about this. But we're going to start seeing in the next few months some of these younger players like Schmidty, some of these younger players like Costa. Will Costa be moved this summer? I think those are going to be the big stories. But right now, if you're Porto, you've won 4 domestic trophies in a row. You want to make it 5. If you're Benfica, another competition you've been eliminated from. So if you're going to end this drought of not winning any trophies since 2019, well, you're going to have to do it with the Liga because you've been eliminated in the other two competitions, domestically speaking. And then, of course, Sporting, if you have any hope of playing in the Champions League next year. And by the way, you need that money badly. Of course, they need to win at home this weekend and turn around the try to get into third place and catch up to Braga, which, again, has an easy match this weekend. Easy because of the points, you know, going to Marítimo. And Braga, by the way, a few things to mention. Two goals last week by Bruma. Fantastic two goals scored. I think if you're, if you're Braga, you have to be very happy that you got this kid. And Braga and Pizzi. And Pizzi, I think, you know, would have been curious to see his reaction playing his former club. He's got to be feeling pretty good, advancing to the Taça de Portugal Final Four. But Bruma with the big two goals last week. And I think if you're Braga, based on this result tonight, I think if you're Braga, you're ready to show something because your two last results against Sporting have been absolutely awful, and they cannot let that happen. But give Braga credit for bouncing back, playing in their stadium in front of their fans. It was about 13,000 fans in the Pedreira, and they come back and they get the result that they wanted. So that's kind of my big three report, as well as Braga. Let me end this like I always do, talking about my favorite club in Portugal. And then, of course, if you're a regular follower, if you're new, my favorite team in Portugal is a team in the districts, the fifth tier, called Atlético do Arcos. Last week, they recorded a big win. They are in first place. Only one team out of, 18 teams in their first division of the districts. They are in first place with 51 points. A club called Limianos, who also won last week. They're in second with 49. We suffered a horrific loss 2 weeks ago. We had a 5-point lead. Now it's down to 2. But Atlético do Arcos, and I bring this up because I want people who listen, and thank you to all those who do. I really appreciate it. I want everyone to know I've been following them for a long time. So when I talk about them, I'm not one of those like people who say, you know, oh, I've been following this club for years and you only hear about it 5 minutes ago. No, I've been talking about them for a few years now. And that's what I love about this podcast, because you can follow that. But this weekend, Atlético dos Arcos will be going to Ankara Praia. Beautiful beach there, of course, by the name. They'll be playing, but they're in seventh place, Ankara Praia. They're having a very good season, even though they're only in seventh place. They're having a very good season for their small club. So this is a very difficult away match for Atlético dos Arcos. Limianos, okay? They have it. They're playing, actually, the other team in Arcos de Valves called Távora. And Távora, of course, sits in fifth place. So this is actually a pretty difficult match for Limianos, too, with the second-place team playing the fifth-place team. But Távora, I know you don't like Atlético dos Arcos, but if you want to do anybody a favor and get Atlético dos Arcos out of your division next year, well, you could do that by beating Limianos. So that's a very, very big match. So again, Atlético dos Arcos in first place with 51 points. Limianos in second with 49. The third-place team is all the way back in 38 points. So I know that Atlético dos Arcos at this point is in good shape. One, to be in the Taça de Portugal, because only the top two teams that finish go to the Taça de Portugal next year. And two, the battle is pretty much between Atlético dos Arcos and Limianos. And again, they're separated by 2 points. And 2 points to me is the same as 0 points being tied, because Atlético dos Arcos has twice finished in a first-place tie, and both times they lost in the playoff, and that's why they didn't move up to the fourth tier. So as far as I'm concerned, 2 points is no different than being level, because it's just never enough for Atlético Arcos to get out of this goddamn fifth tier. But I had to say it. There you go. Anyway, folks, again, thank you for listening to episode 157. Hopefully the video quality here. I was having a few issues with my laptop. And as always, PortugueseSoccer.com, PSoccer.com. Twitter, PSoccerCom, same address at Facebook, Portuguese_soccer_noticias at Instagram. And, of course, give us a follow at all the major platforms for this podcast. Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and, of course, I also put it up on YouTube. Anyway, folks, I'm going to wrap it up right here. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of your families. Depending on where you are, hopefully it's not too cold. Because where I live in New York, it's 50 degrees every day. That's like 10 degrees Celsius. And it snowed a little tiny inch on my car. And that's it. It doesn't snow anymore where I live. I don't even know what it's like to snow anymore. And that's why I don't mind the Taça de Portugal coming to New York because in the future, because it never snows in New York in January anymore. So I'm sorry. I just have to say that even though that's not related to anything I'm talking about. Anyway, take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next time. Ciao, everybody.